The people who can make the difference, whether we like it or not, are the people who have the money. The people have the money, the influence, the platform. There's a huge difference, by the way, between greatness and influence, because Hitler had great influence, right? But he's not great.
Right.
Martin Luther King had great influence, but he was great.
Right.
And you can see a picture side by side of Hitler speaking to thousands of people in a crowd. And you can see the exact same picture of Martin Luther King speaking to thousands of the crowd. What's the difference? They both had influence, but only one of them was great. And greatness to me is when you've created massive influence for a good cause, for something that you believe in, for your morals, standards, and principles, right?
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from, where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
We created a text hotline just to add value to you guys as listeners. It's 435-515-3577. If you guys have questions, anything to do with your taxes, shoot us a text.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, as always, Kilo G.
What up, everybody?
Guys, today we're blessed with a guest. We always enjoy having guests on, getting kind of a third-party perspective, right? You know, everybody goes through different journeys on the path to success, but you can find so many commonalities and, you know, similar issues or problems that people had to overcome. Today we've got Jeremiah the Bull Evans on the show. Dude, we appreciate you coming down and joining us, man.
Appreciate you having me, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude. Well, me and Kel don't know too much about the bowl over here, and we told them right before we got on, we prefer it that way so that it can be organic, natural, and we can get to know them. So, if you will, I mean, we do know that you grew up in Pleasant Grove, Utah. You know, was that, like, I want to kind of understand your work ethic, right? Like, that is instilled in individuals at a young age. Kel's talked about working with his dad at a young age, doing like siding and rain gutters and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up poor, so I had to hustle to get mines as well if I wanted to have a couple extra bucks. I already knew I couldn't go to the family. Where do you believe or think or know your work ethic came from?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, man. I mean, it came from my father, right? Like, it came from my father. Anyone who knows anything about my story, like, you know, like, introduced the bull, right?
Yeah.
I've kind of ran with that name. I didn't give myself that name, right? Like, when I grew up as a kid here in Utah, like, I was bullied pretty heavily. My name was the Fat Bull. I'm not kidding you. My nickname growing up was the Fat Bull.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You know, and, you know, like, I'll just kind of give you some context, like, on a daily basis, you know, like, just puking my guts out because I don't want to go to school because he's, you know,
just nerves and anxiety.
Yeah, well, I know I'm going to get in a fight or they're going to beat me up, you know, or like, or.
It's not an easy day.
No. Yeah. You know, like their favorite thing to do is, you know, these five or six kids would like, you know, chase me down, pin me down, pour chocolate milk down my throat, you know, say Fat Bull needs his milk and shit like that, right? And that all changed, you know, because this has gone on for years, man.
And how old were you at this time? Like 10, this, 11, 12?
Yeah,
like
this young, was probably, young. It was probably really happening from like 8 to 11.
Wow.
Yeah. People don't realize Utah's not as holy a state as we think.
You know, so these same kids were in church the next day or whatever.
You know, they're passing the sacrament.
They're saying, our family motto is kindness. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, you're like, come on, spare me.
You know, swear on this podcast.
Yeah, you can.
I relate, dude. I got bullied too when I was younger, and then I even did a little bullying for a phase too. And did I was like, yeah, man. And so, you know, I realized real quick how that didn't feel good. You know what I mean?
No question. Yeah. I mean, and like really, the thing is, like being bullied and all that stuff. Like where everything started for me, where everything changed, you know, was when my father one day, cause you know, you go through all the steps to like change it, right? You want to like, you want, you know, talk to the teachers, talk to the principal, talk to the parents, right? Have a sit down with the kids and guess what? It all makes it worse.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it makes
you see them at school the next day and then they're like, oh, you little tattletale.
Exactly.
Son of a
bitch. Not only you the fat bull, but you're a snitch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're a little bitch at that point, right?
Yep.
So, and that's gone on for years. And then one day just I just walked home cause I just got chocolate milk all over me and I'm like crying. I got like bloody nose and shit. And I go home, my dad sees me, and dude, I'm telling you, like, he snapped, right? You could see it in his eyes. He snapped. And not like at me, but you could just see this rage in his eyes, right? Because my mom was seeing me. She just starts bawling and she's just sick of it, you know? Yeah. I hate talking about this, right? Yeah. You know, she's bawling. She hates it, right? And my father sees me and he snaps, dude. And he grabs me by the shirt. And the thing is, like, I knew he wasn't mad at me, right? I knew he was just mad at the situation, but I'm talking like rage, dude.
Yeah.
And he grabs me, pulls me aside, and he takes me into the next room away from my mom. And he looks me in the eye and he just says simply, he says, no one's coming to save you, right? No one's ever coming to save you. And that, like...
Did your heart drop in that situation?
Yes, yeah.
Like, I am completely
I'm on
fucked.
My own. I'm alone. I'm
like yeah. You feel like I'm fucked.
Yeah. And that's exactly, but then he, you know, followed up. He says, listen, you know, you're going to have to be Superman here. You're going to have to be the hero of your own story. You're enough to make this happen. And then he proceeded to say, get out of my house and don't come home until you beat one of those kids up. I'm not shitting. He literally kicks me out of the house and like, and I was like fighting. I'm like, no, please, you know, yeah. like, and he yeah. kicks me out. He says,
I already
go.
Had a shit day.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm, you know, me thinking yeah. like this whole thing, I'm like, dude, like, why doesn't he love me? You yeah. know, like, I think he's doing this to be mean to me or whatever. And, but dude, in my mind, I had no choice. I had to go beat one of these kids up or I couldn't come home. Right. Yeah. So I did. One of the scariest things I've ever done, like literally puking on my way over to find one of these kids, go find him. And it's just like in a rage, I just couldn't fucking, like, I didn't know what to do. And I just beat the shit out of one of these kids. Right. And I ran home with the greatest feeling in the world, the greatest feeling in the world of like, I did it. Like all yeah. of a sudden, like, I'm like looking at myself. I'm like running home. Can't wait to tell my dad, show him my, you know, yeah. it was been if I know, like, you show him your knuckles or whatever. Like it ain't pretty, you know, like it's not, it's like yeah. shit hurts when you're punching another dude in the fucking noggin. Right. Yeah. But then, you know, I get home and that was a lesson that he made sure stayed with me my entire life. He, my father,
fight back.
It, yeah.
Fight back,
that's
no
it.
Matter the situation, yeah.
My
right?
father pushed me to a level that I will be eternally grateful for in a brutally loving way.
Where did he get, you know, that? Where, what was his,
well, he
upbringing
didn't
like?
Yeah. He didn't have, his father abandoned him when he was a kid gotcha. And his mom died really, really early on.
Okay.
You know, so he grew up very poor, you
okay,
know, they
so
were, eating.
Up, but was he yeah. like a farmer guy? Was
no,
he a,
no. Like, you know, well, they, he, you know, he was just, his mom worked at the Boy Scout office making $19,000 an hour or $19,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
Right. So barely making anything.
I was gonna say $19,000 an hour. Tell yeah. me
she's
where
raking
to fucking sign up.
Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
No, $19,000 a year. And so yeah. they just rural, they left California, moved here to Utah, and they just had nothing, you know, so no farming, nothing, just living in, you know, basement apartments and shit.
Yeah.
And he just knew if he was going to change anything that he had to work hard, right? You know, kind yeah. of think similar to what you were kind of describing, yeah. if he's going to have anything,
you basically,
it was up to him.
You got to get to a point where you keep it honest with yourself. Like, here's the deal, dude. Like, I already know I'm really not that talented.
Yeah.
I know that. And so I just try to constantly... obviously put it like on paper yep. where nobody could dispute the work ethic right. side of it in terms yep. of the time I wake up or some of the things that I do mm-hmm. because I feel like I'm just not, I'm scared if mm-hmm. I don't work hard mm-hmm. that I'll be the guy that I was growing up,
right.
a loser, poor dude. Right.
right. Yeah.
And so it's like, there's like this weird thing where it's like, you have to prove that you're good enough every single day to be deserving of what you have.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think even like in Arte Syndicate, you know, Ed and Andy, some of those guys, they said they fear losing it every day.
Yeah.
They wake up and they operate still out of some sort of fear.
Yeah.
And they say fear can be a positive and a useful tool.
Yeah.
Right. You were scared as shit going to fight homeboy,
dude,
puking
yeah.
and crying.
Right. Yeah.
But you eventually channeled that into something that turned into aggression.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you yeah. felt pretty fucking good on the way home, right?
Yeah. You know, well, yeah. So. I mean, like, that's things like, you know, like the rest of my life, like, I feel like my entire goal was fear. Like, and like, when I say like my goal was fear, like anytime I felt fear, I knew that there was something, you had to lean in. There was something else on the other side. Right. In baseball, you know, if you're scared of getting hit by the kid, you know, the pitcher who throws like, you know, 80, 90 or whatever, yeah. like he's throwing heat, right. As yeah. a kid growing up. And then, you know, and then if my dad ever saw that in me, he would take me home, take me outside in the yard,
throw baseballs
at me. Yeah. And he could throw it a lot harder than these kids yeah. would. And some people would literally look at that and be like, that's child abuse, right?
Right.
I'm like, no. I knew he loved me.
Yeah.
I knew he loved me. I knew he put me through these things out of pure love because he refused to allow me to see fear as something that would hold me back.
If you got familiar with that pain
yeah.
and you eventually got used to
I'm
it,
fine.
It's no longer scary
yeah,
because
like,
it's not
I
unfamiliar.
Survived. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I
right.
mean? And so therefore you
yeah.
could be up there doing your thing
right.
without the concern of something that might hurt.
Yeah.
This thought in
yeah.
your mind. Now you know for a fact that you'll survive. It might sting just a little bit, but you ain't gonna get hurt. You'll be fine. Right?
Yeah,
and absolutely. Now you're able to operate at a whole different level.
Yeah.
Because you addressed that head on.
Yeah,
right?
Were
exactly.
you the oldest child?
I was the second oldest.
Second
I was the
oldest
boy.
Yeah,
out of
Five kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Utah family.
My second oldest.
Seven here,
homie. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So that's Utah, dog.
What do we say that? Populate the earth? Or what is that phrase? Yeah. You and Elon Musk.
Spread the seed.
Yeah, that's right.
My second oldest, he was getting bullied at school. Yeah. I had no idea. He didn't want to tell me. But he was talking to his older brother about it, right? And his older brother was like, I promise if you punch him in the face.
Yeah.
It's going to stop, right? So anyway, one day I get a call from the principal. Kobe's been in a fight. Caden's like, this has been going on a while, right? So luckily I got some context before I went down there and I talked to the principal. And like, I get in there and the principal's just like, Kobe, you beat this kid up. His parents are just like, and his parents were crying in the parking lot when I pulled up. They're like coddling this kid, right? Yeah. And I'm just like fuming. I'm just like, dude, you have no idea. Like my oldest son now told me about all the messages that are in Instagram DMs that I could go and get proof of, right?
Oh, shit,
and so like nowadays these kids bully each other online, which is good because now you got evidence, right?
Proof,
and so I'm sitting in there, the principal's giving me the whole spiel about how this isn't okay. And I'm like, you know what's not okay is my kid's not going to be a bully.
Yeah.
But he's definitely not going to be a victim of a bully either.
Right.
So I'm not going to reprimand my child at all. If you suspend him, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not reprimanding my child because I already have enough context. My oldest son just sent me all the screenshots of their conversations. This has been going on for months. And if we had to go back, I would tell him to punch him in the face too.
Damn straight.
And you know what?
He handled his business.
The principal went through everything. Yeah. They ended up going and pulling cameras to see who initiated the fight first. And like, dude, ended up being like, my kid was just defending himself, right?
Dude, but the thing is, the fact that we have to go through that much process, especially nowadays, like, you know, like, if you were to like get, like your family were to be attacked, like say my wife were attacked at the gas station and I get in a fight with man, I'm going to have to go through some whole due process, you know, and like, and even a legal thing of like, I might get charged.
Arrested,
hold on. And like in our society, we've removed this idea of the warrior mentality and being able to fight back, right? There's this sacred bond between fear and fighting and being a warrior, right?
Right.
You cannot conquer fear without fighting. There's literally, by definition, in order to overcome fear, you have to push through aggressively.
Why do you think they call it fight or flight?
Exactly, right? In order to have courage, you have to be a warrior. You have to fight.
Right.
So in order to stand up for yourself or to stand up for others, because, you know, by the way, when I was getting bullies again, there's a lot of kids who sat around and watched.
Yeah.
And that was actually the hardest part for me was I sat there and I looked at them. I said, why won't any of you help me?
Right.
Because they were scared of what would happen to them if they did anything to help me.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so that was literally, the whole message of my father afterward was, you better not be a hypocrite. You better be the person who stands up for yourself and for others one day.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes to make sure that you take care of people because you know what it feels like now.
Yeah.
Right? But this sacred bond between fighting and fear, right? Mm. We're so overcome with fear, especially in America, right? That we're so full of fear.
Oh, yeah.
The only way to overcome that is to just channel a little bit of anger, channel a little bit of warrior spirit in you, and to push through.
Mm,
it's an aggressive thing to push through fear, whatever it is.
If someone breaks in your house, you don't know if they're going to rape your daughter, steal your shit. You know what the hell's going to happen,
you
right?
You don't know.
But if you shoot them in the back leaving your home, you're now going to be brought up on murder charges.
You're in Texas.
And I'm like, you know what?
That's why you want
to. I don't give two shits. I'm going to shoot that motherfucker in the back because I don't know if his piece of shit's going to come back to my house.
Right.
I don't know what his intentions were.
Right.
He knew what he was doing coming there, and I don't. So I'm going to make sure his ass never comes back.
And you know what you would have done? You would have say you let him go. Right. Yeah. And I was like, that's the moral thing to do. No, it's not.
No.
The moral thing to do is to be a protector.
Exactly.
Right. That's why I literally have this business called Alphas, to be a protector.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Not only did you protect your family, say he's running out the house, you protected another family one day.
Right.
Because he's shown he's willing to do that now.
100%.
I have now protected somebody else from this evil that was in my home. Right.
Well, I mean, for me, I think eventually it's going to have to be to a certain extent. Either we're going to continue to get weaker and weaker and weaker and worse and worse as a society, or eventually there's going to have to be some sort of social justice. Mm-hmm. Like back in the day, I call that social justice.
Yeah.
With your peers, you handled it, right? You handled your business, right? Your boy handled his business at school with another peer. That's social socially, they figured it out.
Yeah.
And guess what? Homeboy learned a lesson crying in his mama's arms in the parking lot that maybe it's not a good idea to treat people like that. And then old boy over here, Kel's son, he learned a valuable lesson too. When somebody's talking shit or you're scared or you're the dude, handle it, stand up to it, address it. Don't back down and it'll go away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It will subside. Whatever that thing is that you're scared of or whatever is causing you fear, the only reason why it's causing you fear is because you're not addressing it.
That's right.
And because it's unfamiliar or it's scary, you don't know what the outcome is going to be.
And look how badass it is now today that in business, not only do you have this developed courage and things like that, but you can spot a fucking bully, dude. You know what I mean? You can identify like, this isn't a dude I want leading my organization. This is a dude I don't want to do business with or align myself with. Like so many valuable lessons from those days now in your entrepreneurship journey.
You know what's it's easy to identify a bully nowadays, especially after what I've been through. It's really hard to identify a snake though.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I'm learning over and over in my business career is you know, the wolf in sheep's clothing or that chameleon who comes into your business. Oh,
you're going to get screwed over many times.
I've already been, dude. Like, I'm like, and it's many
part of the
times.
Process.
Holy shit.
You know, when you're throwing money out, you're doing this.
There's some great manipulators.
Fantastic. Yeah. I they got me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck.
we've lost 50 grand here. There's a 300 grand loss on a bit, you know, stuff like that. But what's frustrating is that when individuals go through that, they act like it's just them. But you're alluding to the fact that you've been through it. We're alluding to the fact that we've been through it.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's part of the journey that nobody could escape.
Yeah.
Unless you just say, this is my business and I'm not exploring any options outside of that, which is very difficult to do if you have that thing in your DNA or in your blood where you just kind of want to go and you get excited and you want to move, you want to shake, and you don't want to do one thing over and over and over and over and over, like build an insurance firm or whatever, right? Like that can get boring and monotonous, right?
So I think what's fascinating about what you're saying there is it, in order to take something to the next level, right? Say you go from, I want to go from making $100,000 a year to $1 million a year, right?
Yeah.
You think, okay, let me just find the process. Let me find the marketing tactics. Let me put in the money, right? You think that's what's going to be hard. No. There's something about, and I believe this is God's doing, where there is a test going to come your way. The second you decide you want to go to the next level, there's about to be all hell break loose in whatever it is. Because I've looked at my journey from 100,000 a year to $1 million a year to 10 million a year to 25 million, right? It's this whole process of every time I've tried to level up, the dam has broke, all hell breaks loose, and it's this testing fire of, I believe it's God saying, you sure? Right? You sure you want to go to the next level? Because if you want to go next level, that means as a business owner, everything's making $1 million. Cool. No. Making $1 million means you take on $1 million a year worth of problems.
Oh my God.
Making $10 million a year means you take on $10 million a year worth of problems. You want to be a billionaire? You're going to take on $1 billion worth of problems. That's the best business is solving problems.
But there's no way you're going to go from $10 million problems to $1 billion. You couldn't hack it.
If you could, you would crumble under the pressure.
Is so important.
Yes.
You have to deal with the $10 million problems, the 20, the 30, the 40, so that you could graduate those levels.
Yeah.
Just like you had to deal with fucking fifth grade problems before you made it to fucking sixth grade.
That's right.
And then just like sixth grade gave you a fucking issue, whatever that was, then you went to ninth. And then every level has its issues or has its problems, right? And we must endure to show the universe that we're valuable enough to have that type of responsibility when you're making that type of money, right?
Amen.
And so go through what you've got to go through because we've all paid the price. Guess what? Yeah. We've all had very little money left in the bank account, scared as shit. We've all been fucking screwed over. We've all had to go through hiring and firing problems.
Yeah.
We've all, I mean, it... Welcome to the fucking club.
Yeah.
It's called entrepreneurship.
Right.
You know what I mean? And everybody's going to go through it.
Yeah.
So just because you're going through it and you feel like you're alone or maybe it's not for me or whatever, like quit bitching.
Yeah.
Quit fucking moaning and quit complaining because it's not going to get the thing done that you need to focus on. So focus on the thing that's going to move the needle, not the things that you feel like are falling apart, because if anything, they're falling more together than they are apart if you could withstand the pressure, right?
That's right. Amen. You know? Think about this, right? People say like, why? Okay, someone who wins the lottery or someone who inherits a lot of wealth very quickly, right? Or, you know, these professional athletes who go from high school, you know, and they get all this money, right? Here's the truth is like what you're saying about the pressure. One's going to cave in. Either you're going to cave or the pressure's going to cave, meaning you're either going to have to get rid of that weight that's on your shoulders or you will just be destroyed. So you know what happens? If someone wins the lottery, but you don't deserve that kind of money and pressure. Mm-hmm. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to start shedding off all that pressure on you. And guess what? You'll be back to where you started. You'll lose $250 million just like that.
Right.
Because you can't stand the pressure. That's you right. haven't become the person worthy to have that kind of money or to have that kind of those kind of problems, right? Yeah.
That's why the process is so important. Yeah. And people just don't understand that. It's easy to say that when you're on this side of it, looking back, you're like, oh, damn, all those problems were valuable to me to get me where I am today. It's just when you're going through the problem, you're not like, this is awesome. You know, now at this level, though, when we go through problems, even recent issues in terms of rapid expansion and growth, right, we kind of look at each other and it's like, okay, this is the test that will be the thing that's going to launch us to the next level if we withstand that pressure, right? Yeah. And it just is what it is, and we're still going through it. You probably have stresses and problems right now that you're going through.
No question.
And people that are listening, look at other people just because we're talking about it, and we might be at a different – the problems never go away. They just continue to increase, and your strength to deal with those stresses increase.
Yeah.
And the idea is really to play with self a little bit in terms of, like, what can I do every day for me so that I can bear that type of weight, that I could bear that type of stress, right? Because if you're not strong or you're not whole as an individual, it's impossible to bear weight over and over and over. Eventually, something's going to give, right?
Amen.
And so
none of it would be worth it if you stop. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like you obviously want to make it worth it, and getting to that next level, like you're exiting a business, right? It's like, if you just stopped right now, it'd be like, fuck, that wouldn't be worth it. Now everything, I know I'm inheriting a shit burger back, and it's, you know, and I'm probably just going to shut it down, you know? It's like, none of it was worth it. But you see it through, and then it's like, okay, cool. The lessons, the money, all the things that you receive from that, it's like, okay, now I can take this and go on to something new or invest into something else or build something new. But it's all not worth it if you're the part that caves instead of the pressure, right?
Yep, exactly right. So, I mean, it's like the Mike
Tyson. It's worth seeing through.
It's like the Mike Tyson's at 19 years old, young, going from poor playing with fucking pigeons to hundreds of millions of dollars, and he blows it all.
Yeah.
He didn't learn the lessons that he needed to financially, right? I mean, maybe he had discipline in one area, and we've had an episode on the 4Ds, areas of discipline. And if you just are disciplined in one area, that doesn't matter. The house of cards can still fall down. The idea is to, you know, create a stable foundation across the board, not just financially, right? Mentally, right, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all of that. He didn't have that all put together. Now, look at him now. Mm-hmm. He seems like a completely different person mentally, emotionally. He's not going to rip your head off unless you're on an airplane talking shit. But he's a completely different human being than what he was. Yeah. But he had to go through those pressures and those processes and basically his own problems. In other words, losing hundreds of millions of dollars to learn those lessons.
Yeah.
We just learn it a little bit differently in business versus an athlete, you know, but he still got his fucking face pounded in literally and physically, emotionally, financially, to eventually get where he's at today. Let me ask you this. I mean, everybody obviously defines success just a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you keep going? Yeah, you have a work ethic, cool. Your dad gave that to you, cool. But why continue to execute it? Like, what's the goal?
Yeah. So I had a very sacred experience not too long ago, actually.
Ayahuasca?
Close. Actually, let's just talk about it. Psilocybin, actually.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm Mormon. I'm LDS. Yeah. And I believe in revelation, right? Okay. I believe in prayer. And I believe that, you know, and that's my first ever experience on something like that. Mm. To me, it's just, it opens up your mind to receive. Yeah, exactly. Sure. And I had a very sacred experience with that where I saw my life, you know, I saw my life up to this point, but more importantly, I saw my life before, right? And, you know, it's very sacred to me, obviously,
before
I came here. Yeah, before I came here, right? And I know, and after this, I knew without a doubt, and it's funny because I've always known this was my calling to do. This is what I believe God ordained me to do here. But now I know without a shadow of doubt, I saw it. Like I know it. And that it my mission is to gather the strong and protect the weak. Right. And that's my mission. That's what I want to do with my businesses. And so I'm trying to grow a business. To me, success will be when I've gathered hundreds of thousands of strong who are united in the goal to protect the weak, right? Mm. To come together, to do whatever is necessary to become that person. To become someone of influence who can actually make a difference in this world, right? in my opinion, the enemy of what's happening is the people who do nothing. As a matter of fact, I quote this every time I have a seminar, an event, or anything. I make sure everyone knows the only thing necessary for evil to triumph in this world is for good men and women to do nothing.
Right.
It's the only thing necessary is if you sit down and do nothing, right? And I see I see what's happening in this world, because, you know, like what happened to me, like, okay, I got bullied, right? Mm-hmm. I had Trumu being poured down my throat. That ain't that bad. I still like Trumu, right? I was low key. You know, like, we'll be honest, I was licking it a little bit.
Trumu for a while. Now you're like, I'm past that shit.
I'm over it.
I've made peace.
That's right. Trumu, you know. But you know what I can't sleep with is the feeling of feeling alone and helpless, right? And in all reality, what I learned from my father is I wasn't helpless, but I thought I was. And that was the greatest hell I've ever been in. And now when I look across the world, because I've done a lot of work with a man named Tim Ballard, right? When I look at what's happening in this world, there are people who are helpless. There are actually children being sold into slavery. Millions. Every single day, there's millions of children sold into slavery. Millions of children. And I'm thinking, I was a kid getting beat up by other kids.
Yeah.
What if I was a kid and it was a bunch of adults?
Yeah.
Right.
And we're not talking about getting beat up,
right?
And the fact that that is happening, in the fact that's happening under our noses is because we have allowed it to happen. And that's the truth.
Right.
We have allowed this to happen. And that's the only reason we see these problems is because we let it happen. And so if we don't do something about it, it's going to continue. The wolves don't stop being wolves, right? I actually don't blame evil for being evil. This is an evil world we live in. There's a lot of shit. I don't blame evil for doing what it does. I blame the person who could have done something about it, who decided not to, because I don't blame the kids who are bullying me. I blame the kids who sat back and watched.
Right.
Could they have helped me? 1,000%. They could have got these kids off me, make sure, you know, like they could have helped me. And honestly, I could have helped myself, but they could have done something about it. So success to me is, yes, I want to be a billionaire. I want to do all these things. I want to gather hundreds of thousands of strong men and women who are committed to the same goal of protecting the weak. Right. Yeah. And that to me is success. And I just happen to have to do it through the venture of business, right? Like whether it's life insurance, whether it's real estate, I've got all these businesses I'm doing and it's all for a purpose, right? Yes, I'm going to make a lot of money in real estate. Yes, I'm going to make a lot of money in life insurance. Yes, I'm going to make a lot of money, you know, with apparel and all this stuff, because I know what I can do with that.
Yeah.
Right. I know who I can become with that. That just happens to be the mode of transportation to get the
vehicle,
me there.
So
exactly.
Speak,
yeah. So on OUR is the only thing I really donate to, dude. Like I get money to it every year, right?
Yeah, right.
But I've never actually gone on like one of those missions, and I kind of want to because I feel like I haven't seen it with my own eyes, right?
Yeah.
But just the thought of it, just hearing about it, it disgusts you. You're like, dude, I want to help. Like I give money to that because I'm just like, that's how I can help. Right. But like, I would love to go on like one of those. Have you gone on one with Tim?
I've been in their briefings. I was invited to go to Ecuador with them and I unfortunately wasn't able to. I don't know if I could.
Yeah.
If I'm completely honest, Tim's invited me.
I'm like over here, like you're saying about that and that. Yeah. And I'm just like, dude, like my heart would be ripped out of my fucking chest, dude. I don't know how I would respond.
Yeah, and I talked to Tim about that. I'm like, I don't know how you go into that depth of hell and say over and over again, you know. But he's invited me, and I probably will go because I have to. Yeah. You know,
I think I think there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's gonna deepen your mission and your purpose.
I mean,
it's not
about me.
That's one of the reasons I want to go. I'm like, dude.
Well, we're talking about being scared and having a little bit of fear doing it
based
upon something that's unfamiliar. And we've already talked about, you know, being overcoming that fear and being scared. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are actually gonna see a project coming out that I sponsored for OUR that's gonna be coming out soon.
A documentary. Or
yeah, it's a documentary coming out. I can't tell any details about it, but. I hope it sheds a light on just how bad. I think we know how bad it is, but from what I've seen through this, I didn't know. It just keeps going deeper and deeper.
I think we know how bad.
Yeah.
Like that's when you say we, I don't think that's like everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Like, cause you didn't know how bad it was at one point until it was, like people know that it's getting bad and it's, you know, very relevant in this day and age. But like when I started hearing numbers of like, how many kids would be trafficked in Florida because of the Super Bowl that week. And it was like tens of thousands of kids just in a weekend.
Yeah.
And it was just like, how?
Yeah.
How do you even facilitate
almost,
shifting thousands of children around and nobody's really knowing?
Yeah.
Right. Like that, like it's just mind-blowing massive.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think that's the problem, is it's so evil and it's so huge that we immediately think,
right.
No.
Right.
Right. No. No way. Right. Well, because the truth is, if that happened right out there, what would you do?
You fucking kill somebody.
You kill somebody if it happens. So naturally,
I got my gun in my truck.
Exactly. You know? I love it. But naturally, that has all. If this is going to happen, it has to happen in the shadows. But here's what's scarier to me, and this is why I don't think we realize how bad it is. And let me just kind of preface this. You know, something's really bad when it goes from the shadows and is now being talked about openly as something we should accept.
Oh, yeah.
As mainstream. Yeah. Have you heard of MAP?
No, I haven't heard of MAP.
They're trying to redefine pedophilia and say, don't call them pedophiles. That's mean. That's offensive, right? They say love has no bounds. This is literally the push. Love has no bounds. They're trying to add MAP or whatever to the LGBTQ thing. Yeah, yeah. And MAP is minor attracted persons.
That's right. I can't remember the term. Yeah. I never heard it called
minor
MAP,
attracted persons. And the fact that there are... We're talking about professors and really high-end, like people who are very high up in the totem pole, right? Are having these events, are having these massive education seminars, and are having these conferences to discuss how we can re-educate the American people to realize that pedophilia is not wrong.
Right.
That is what's happening right now. And the fact that it's going from the shadows to being pushed now to mainstream is that's where it shows you. This is just the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is just the beginning. And if we think it's bad now, it's only going to get worse unless we do something about it. And the fact that that could even be presented, as mainstream and someone isn't just absolutely destroyed for saying something so grotesque and so evil, there's people saying, well, maybe we should listen to them. Right. Maybe we should have an open mind. No.
Yeah.
There's open-mindedness in certain things, but we'll draw a line on the lines. Yeah. And we're going to keep those lines and standards, it's called, right?
Values. Absolutely. And standards.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Morals.
So that what they're saying is they're using open-mindedness against you to make you compromise your values and standards.
Yeah.
So you would rather be called open-minded rather than have values or standards.
Yeah, right? Because you're a bigot if you don't.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Because there's some fear aspect to it, because that's the propaganda and that's the campaign that they're running. Absolutely, that's the campaign
that's
they're running.
Go ahead. I was going to say, that's just the type of weak that you don't want to protect, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's define the weak, right? Because when I say this to people, I'm like, our mission is to protect the weak. They go, I know, I got a buddy. You know, like, no, you don't understand.
Right.
You don't know who the weak are then. The weak are the ones who are truly helpless.
If you live
in America, you have a physically capable body and physically capable mind. Yeah. You're not the weak.
Yeah.
You're the strong that I'm calling to say rise up, right? You're the one who's either going to settle for mediocrity and be average and just take care of yourself, which, by the way, is the most selfish thing you'll ever do is be average.
Right.
The most selfish thing you'll ever do is be average, because then you're just doing enough to take care of yourself.
Well, I told my daughter just yesterday in the car, I said something, we were talking about money or whatever, and I said, don't you think money in your hands would be better than somebody that's bad?
Yeah.
And I said, so you have an obligation to make more than just your basic needs, because the money should be in people's hands that care for others.
Yes.
And so if you don't get it, somebody bad might get it, and they're going to use that money to do something bad.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I explained it.
And you know where the morals of this country stand? I'm talking about this country, but let's just talk about the world. But like, I mean, the morals in this country are, it's typically you go to the middle class homes, right? Middle class homes, you know, have a lot of morals. They teach these standards in their homes, right? Yeah. But you know, the problem is that's called the silent majority. And because they're saying silent, that's the problem.
Right. Well, I heard that the silent majority was actually something that was made up by the left and labeled it. And so that people would start living up to it. The problem with labels is we like to live up to these.
We love being the silent majority.
You know, so in that case, we'll just label ourselves as the silent majority, which is cool. So now we don't got to say shit because we are in the majority, which feels good. But we're still silent.
We're silent.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
And what
it's
could be,
all mind tricks,
exactly.
Right?
And what could be worse? What could be worse than remaining silent? Yeah. Your silence in the presence of evil is evil in of itself, because it's allowing evil to happen. George Washington has said this. The people from Nazi Germany have well documented, you know, what it was like to not stand up when they saw these evils happening, to just take care of themselves. And then one day they came for me and there's no one left to stand for me, right? You guys know that poem.
Right.
This has been well documented through history, that the only way for this to happen is for us to stay silent, which is why it's so important we're having this conversation on your massive platform, you know, as entrepreneurs. Like, you have built a massive business and created tons of success. And I know you guys are good people because of this. Yeah. You're doing this because you want to help. You don't have to be doing a podcast. You don't have to be putting out this message, right? You don't have to be helping out other entrepreneurs to better their business because you could just dominate them all. You could go buy them and just create a massive conglomeration and say, hey, why don't you come be a part of us? And then you're the only ones winning. No, no, no. You're trying to help them win. Right. And we do that for a reason. And I think we all know what that reason is, because we know who has the power, who can actually make a difference. The people can make the difference, whether we like it or not, are the people who have the money.
Yeah.
The people have the money, the influence, the platform. You're an influencer, so to speak. And there's a huge difference, by the way, between greatness and influence, because Hitler had great influence. Right. But he's not great.
Right.
Martin Luther King had great influence, but he was great.
Right.
And you can see a picture side by side of Hitler speaking to thousands of people in a crowd. And you can see the exact same picture of Martin Luther King speaking to thousands of the crowd. What's the difference? They both had influence, but only one of them was great.
I love that.
And greatness to me, and that's what success is to me, is when you've created massive influence for a good cause, for something that you believe in, for your morals, standards, and principles, right? Mm. If you create massive influence for your own gain, and as a matter of fact, to not only for your own game, to then actually use that as power over somebody else to be a bully, in a sense, right? You're not great. You're evil. And yes, evil can have just as much money as good. So why don't we just take that into our head and say, well, it's my duty to stand up and be great. It's my duty to actually make millions and millions of dollars. Because do you know how much money it costs to run one of these operations, save these kids? Do you know how much money it costs to do all this stuff? And whether maybe it's not just the kids, by the way, because there's a lot of evil out there, right? Yeah. You know, we're talking about dogs. I love my dogs, most angelic creatures on the planet, right? And what we do to dogs, right, as human beings, the way they're, I want to, you know, like, I can't even stand
to see a
video.
You got to be a billionaire, bro, if you're going to save the dogs, the kids. You're going to have to be a trillionaire.
I'm going to have to be one, right? You know. And the thing is, if I can gather a large group of people who believe the same thing, then yes, I can do that, and I know they can do the same thing.
Well, evil, you know, I was reading the book Power of Habit in it this morning, and it talked about small wins. So it basically said everything large happens with a small win, right? So if they can get you to agree to just this much, just give a little bit of grace in this category, stay silent.
Yep.
Then that's where it's a trickle effect. It's momentum. But what it talked about is the reason why it's so important to make your bed, it has nothing to do with making your bed. That's a small win that has the ability to, it makes winning easier on other tasks. It talked about waking up early with a routine. That's a small win. But they said the routine itself that you're doing has nothing to do with the success that you're trying to chase, but it's a small win that has the ability to create momentum. Then it talked about, and again, I don't got a problem if somebody likes dudes that's the dude or a chick that's whatever. If that's their thing, but when you start talking about children, you start talking about a dude identifying as a woman, that's some bullshit. You can fuck off, okay? Yeah. Let's just call a spade a spade. But in the book, what it has said, in the 1972, if you were gay, they labeled as mental issues, and they had a book on it, and it was in the mental issues department. And the society didn't like that. And they couldn't get anybody to wrap their mind around this concept, right? And again, this is a true story. Go read The Power of Habit. So they started focusing on how do we get one win? How do we get one win?
Yeah.
And they decided to get that one win by just getting a book reclassified in a different, I don't know what they
Category.
What a category, right? Like, we don't want to put it in mental health problems category. We're going to put it over here in some other category. I forget what it was. But they talked about how that small win. Now, what I think is happening is they're trying to play off of the success of individuals that are gay that wanted to be part of society and be accepted. And that happened, right? And it did happen. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, they're getting cool, you know, cool person, right? But they're trying to go one step further. Right?
Yep.
Like, well, this group did it. Well, why can't this group that identifies as a woman that's a man? No.
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't give a fuck if a dude is attracted to another dude. I give a fuck if you're lying to my children and saying that's a fucking chick. That's a dude. No, I don't care.
Yeah. Right.
Feelings. Somebody has feelings for somebody of the same sex. Cool. Go do whatever you want to do behind closed doors. But don't lie to my fucking kids. Don't tell me.
it was pretty eye-opening for me, because I didn't know this, dude, until we were all up there at WAG's office. And I don't, we're not allowed to talk about a whole lot about that, right? But it was pretty eye-opening, right? That it was pretty eye-opening about how much books they've removed and how much history they've removed, and that we've actually been here before. Like, I didn't know that, dude. I didn't know that between World War One and World War Two, like, all that stuff was going on. But when it was going on, there was a completely confused society that was doing all the same shit. Men cross-dressing, like, I mean, they probably didn't have the medical stuff to actually do transitional surgeries and shit, but, like, people were identifying as different things. Like, that's when, like,
it was mass confusion. If there is no, like, if there is no solid truth and everybody's confused, then you could make truth.
History is repeating itself. History is repeating itself, and we don't even freaking know it, because they've erased history.
Exactly.
That's the key right there. Notice what word offends more people and has been more manipulated than anything else, and it's the word truth.
Yep.
Look at that little video of the guy who's like, I'm just looking for the truth. Where the what is a woman, right? Where he goes, I'm really uncomfortable with that language. Wait, what? You're uncomfortable with what?
Truth.
Yeah. And like, let's be real here. There, like, the power that is the power of good, that is the power of making a difference, is the power of truth.
Yeah.
There is no denying that, except they will try to, but at the end of the day, truth is truth, right? Yeah. And the more we seek after truth, the more we obtain truth, which is why every time you read a book, you literally became more powerful, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard this before, and I actually know Tony Robbins says, he says power is not, or knowledge is not power, it's potential power. He's, you know, and I've heard that, but I'm like, well, hang on. I actually disagree with that. And it's hard to say you disagree with Tony Robbins, right?
Yeah.
You're a stud, Tony, I love you, right? But I do disagree with that. Why? Because once you've obtained knowledge in the sense of truth, you are, the truth inside you literally wills you to act.
Yeah.
When you have a full knowledge of truth, it wills you to act. Unless you completely deny the truth and run from it. But that is actually a difficult thing to do when you know the truth, right? And we know, like, let's say a basic truth that we can all agree on: murder. How about this? Murdering a baby. If we saw someone about to murder a baby, I would hesitate to argue that not a single person in this entire building or this entire city, this entire planet would not step in.
The truth is that's wrong.
Exactly. Right. That's the truth, right? Because everyone knows, as truth, that is wrong.
Right.
So the truth would will every single one of us to act on that, right? So the more we can dilute the truth, the less people will act, right? The less people will take action because we don't have a certainty of truth. So knowledge, by reading books, you know, by going to conferences, by doing these things, by listening to podcasts like this, you're actually absorbing truth, right? You're absorbing truth, and you're constantly working that. So the more you absorb truth, the more powerful you become.
And that's why we get messages of people saying, oh, ever since I've listened to the podcast, my actions have changed.
Right.
Because you can't deny truth.
You can't deny it. And not only can you not deny it, it will literally will you to act.
Well, I mean, if we were, again, educated in this formal secret meeting or whatever, that, you know, in the communist books, it literally talks about one of their goals is to dilute truth so that mass people are confused, so that then they could create the new truth, like a map situation, right? Like, where it's okay for older people to be attracted to young people. Age is just a number, and again, or whatever. That's what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
That's what's coming down
the pipe. That's the shirt they had.
Yeah.
Was age, like, age, love has no bounds, you know, gender, race. Yeah. Age, and it was a picture of a child with a man.
I would say acceptance, overall acceptance and silence is the biggest issue. Right?
It is the number, it is evil.
But where did it start?
Exactly.
With one small win.
Yeah.
And here we are in 2022.
Yeah.
Fucking talking about dudes being chicks, chicks being fucking dudes, kids fucking, you know, being attracted to adults and adults being attracted. That's a conversation.
Right.
Right.
Have that fucking 10 years ago and see what people would have done to you.
Right. Yeah.
That's the frog being boiled. We're all being boiled.
Yeah.
And you have to actually be somebody that's a conscious thinker. Uh-huh. And it talks about how the school system kills thinking. The only reason why I actually think I'm doing well in real life is because I ditched school more than I was there. And I literally thought about that the other day. Because I was reading something about the school system and how it's broken and how it actually is training people not to think for themselves. You tell me what to think and give this, you do this, this is the answer. So now I'm going to say, okay, you do this and this is the answer because you gave me that truth.
Dude, I did.
I don't have to think anymore.
Dude, I did a video on about school, my thoughts on school. Number one, I hate school for obvious reasons, right? That was not a safe place for me, right? Like I got the shit kicked out of me, bro. I hate school. But I did a video on why I believe that school, if you hate school, it's for a reason. And it got millions and millions of views. Like people really respond to like this. And every time I talk to people about school, I get a ton of views because everyone feels the same way. School has become bullshit. Mm-hmm. School has become complete bullshit. And if you feel inside you, if you're sitting in class and you have this feeling of I could be doing more, this sucks, like this, like I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I think that's for a reason.
Right.
And the people are going to argue me with me like, well, there's a reason for school and this. I hear you. But can we do it a better way? Clearly, if you're someone who struggles in school.
Now, there's a reason for education.
Education is different than school, right?
Exactly education, because you can do self-education.
Right.
Or
we just said knowledge is power. So yes, is education massive? Yes. It's critical, right? But school, at this point, has become complete bullshit. Why? Right. Because if you're sitting in school and you hate being there, there's a reason for that. And that's a big sign that you're going to be a successful entrepreneur.
Right.
I know a lot more entrepreneurs who hated school and ditched school than not, right? Because
they didn't conform. They're like, I'm nonconformist. They're free thinkers.
And guess what entrepreneurs don't do? Right. They don't conform. They don't conform. They are the outliers of society. Yes. And we need outliers in society.
You know,
so that the people that do conform can conform.
Amen. You know what sucks,
the people
man?
That are outliers.
That's right.
My little sister, okay, she's practically a daughter of mine. It's my wife's little sister, and we've raised her since there's a big age gap between her. But she just barely messaged us the other day, and she's like, man, like she wants to be a medical professional, right? And she's accepted in all these programs. She's in SUU right now. And the professor in one of her classes was literally like, well, and you have to have a college education in order to be a medical professional.
Yeah, I mean,
you
just do.
And that's what she's passionate about doing. Yeah,
sure.
And the medical professional, who are bullies, bro. A lot of them are bullies.
Unless you sleep with them.
And
I never tried that one in school.
Yeah. It's because you have morals.
Yeah, I know, right? But he basically said, just very currently, this last week, like, better everybody here in this class better get your vaccines because doctors know best, right? And here they are all studying to be doctors. Right. And these are young minds that are just, like...
Very impressionable.
I mean, she's already fought, like, many people. Like, she was nannying for families that were like, you have to get your vaccine if you're nannying my kids. And she's like, well, okay, then find somebody else. Like, she stood firm on that, but she was afraid because I told her, I'm like, well why didn't you say if doctors know best, then maybe you're listening to the wrong doctors because my doctor told me I shouldn't get it, right?
Did you know a doctor?
She's like, I don't want to say that to him because I don't want him to flunk me all year long. And that's something a bully would do, right?
Yeah,
and so I don't know this professor if he would do that if he spoke up. But it's like that's the fear some of these kids are living in that want to become medical professionals. And it's like such bullshit, right? Like how can you be bullying these little kids into going and doing something to their body that we know truth causes harm?
Yes.
Well, all these college kids have are getting myocarditis. Yeah, they should never have it.
Exactly right.
And they're ignoring that.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't
matter. To push their agenda.
That's not true. Because we can dilute it. Already, right.
Yeah.
Right? The truth is you need
it. It's bullshit.
Right? Yeah. You know? And so you guys need to know, you know, I won't tell you how. But in school, when you go to school to be a doctor, you learn about vaccines for about 1 week. They're not sitting there doing the studies and the research. The doctors aren't in the labs. What happens for that week is if they've got this, you give them this.
Yes.
Oh, well, if that happens, then you give them this shot. Oh, if that. So it's here's the problem. Here's the solution. That's what they're told at school. Not to think for themselves. They're told, this happens, this is the remedy.
Right.
Memorize it.
Right.
Well, exactly. You can see a huge difference, by the way, between doctors who are entrepreneurs and doctors who conform. Let's get this ready.
Yes,
I have sat down actually with a lot of doctors who have asked me to help them. Well, they hate it, but they've asked me to help them grow their business.
Yeah.
And so I sat down with them. I'm like, well, I don't know how much, but I know like marketing, sales. Okay, so let's talk about this. They showed me their business model.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Oh, the pharmacies.
Do you have, okay, so yeah. All the profit is in the sale of the product.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, yeah, naturally. For some reason, I was like, oh, maybe it's different for doctors because you pay, you know, you get all this money from deductibles and health insurance. Yes, it's all there, but you know how much money is in the sale of the product, right?
Right.
And of the supplement, right? The vaccine, extremely profitable.
Yeah.
And that's why they can come in and basically just diagnose, here's the thing, you buy this, then the price tag on those things, right? That's where health insurance, the price tag on those things of what you actually pay versus what is being paid for with health insurance, this whole battle with the product. I'm like, okay. Because then I sat down with other doctors who are more entrepreneurial minded who disagree with all that, will not give those meds. They're doing other things. I'm like, wow.
Natural. Let's let the body work with the body. Yeah. The body is perfect.
Yes.
It's designed to heal.
Yes.
And let's work with it.
Right.
So we can move or pull this lever in a certain way, whether it's the cold, whether it's exercise, whether it's food, whether it's water, but let's pull these levers and fix your body because your body is the most beautiful, well-operated machine that can fix itself.
Well, do you know where these doctors who write these prescriptions, have these pills, get their information? From pharmaceutical reps and salesmen.
Yeah.
Because pharmaceutical rep salesmen, like, and very profitable being medical sales, by the way, right? You go to doctors, you make great money.
Yeah,
I wonder why. Where's all this money coming from?
They're making hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
Sometimes millions, right? And they're going to these doctors and basically pitching them on why this product's better than that product, right? Why you should offer this instead of this. So I'm like, wait, hold on. That means
you have a salesperson selling you a product that you end up selling.
Exactly. Then the doctor is the salesman. And I've seen this from an entrepreneur perspective of, okay, you as a doctor, you're a salesman, right? And then you're going to have to push product. And I'm giving them advice as a business moment. Hold on. You're being sold. Like, how do you know which of these products are better? We're not talking about which product's better. We're talking about which product's more profitable, right? And I know, I'm saying doctors care for this. Yes, I get that, right? But I'm just giving you this perspective because where the doctor get the information that is what's right for them?
Exactly.
Yes, they'll go read some articles. Written by who?
Yeah.
By the company that produced it. Then they'll go right. Then they'll listen to the pharmaceutical rep who sold it to them. So this is this big game of telephone with this pill saying this is the one you push because it'll pay you this much, plus it'll help them the most.
We'll give you confirmation at every level.
Exactly.
Yeah. And not all doctors are bad, obviously, because there's some good ones that are out there fighting.
Right.
And modern medicine does exist for a reason.
No question.
And look, with anything good, there is bad. Mm-hmm. There's good cops, there's bad cops.
Yep.
There's good people, there's bad people.
That's
there's good accountants, there's bad accountants. Mm-hmm. There, you know, it does not. They're good doctors, there's bad doctors. There's good therapists, bad therapists, right? It doesn't matter the industry. If there's good, there will be bad. You know,
Both sides think they're good and you think the other side's bad.
It's just the way it is. And secondly, to a certain extent, it's like I almost don't blame some of the doctors just because they're so programmed and trained to do it this way that they know no different, right?
8 years of schooling,
That exists in them is truth.
Yep.
And they will not dispute their own truth. And that's really the problem with society in general is we all should realize that maybe the truth that we believe is truth is not 100% maybe a little bit more open-minded outside of, you know, some fucking kiddie shit where you got to draw the line. Right.
Well, I mean, what you actually just cited was, you know, the communists, you know, like the books about communism, how to implement communism. Right. Because you talked about how basically like they
mass confusion.
And it goes even deeper. How do you create mass confusion? It's through as they say, demoralization. Right. Because when you demoralize, and by the way, people think of demoralize like, oh, I'm demoralized, like I'm depressed. No. Demoralize means you get rid of morals.
Right.
You get rid of standards. You get rid of values, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why I love Andy and why he pushes core values on businesses and families. Because really, at the end of the day, when we're talking about truth, if there's a moral like that, you know, that governs the society, a moral standard that we live by, then it's really hard to push something to a doctor, you know, when the doctor's like, I can make a lot of profit from that, but that's not moral. And I have morals, I have ethics, I have core values, so I won't do that because I don't believe, based on what I've looked at and I've taken my own effort to do it, that's not for me. Yes, it's more profitable, but it's not for my people, right? And so when you have morals, you have this protection barrier from the wolves trying to get in, right? And that is one word. If we're describing this whole thing of truth, morals, standards, there's actually one word that is a very old word that describes that all. It's called honor.
Yeah.
And that, when do we talk about honor?
Right.
When do we talk about honor in this society? That's such an old term, you know? When was the last time?
Back in the day, they said honor your father and your mother, you know, stuff like that. We heard it a little more back in the day.
But honor, honor by definition is having morals and values and standards. Honor is doing what's right. Honor is that you have a larger purpose inside of you that governs what you do, as opposed to being manipulated by other things. Honor, and we're talking about this. I know for a fact people who listen is like, oh, honor, come on, dude. It's like, no. Why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about truth? These old words, let's bring them back to what actually matters. And, you know, the people are like, well, that's not very, you know, what do they call it when you're trying to make...
politically correct.
Yeah, politically correct. Or like the left side is very, you know, they're trying to make just... Oh, I forgot the word.
They don't make any sense.
Progress. Progressive. That's progressive. That's not very progressive of you, right?
Right.
It's like, yeah, no, it's not. It's not very progressive
of me at all.
I actually
want to degress, and I want to go back to old school values, old school hard work,
right?
Old school shit.
Yeah.
Not all progress is progress.
Damn straight.
Right?
Yeah.
Like to a certain extent, right? Like I believe society continues to progress, but... I believe that there's some caveats with that progress that's actually, as we have alluded to today.
Demoralizing.
Exactly. The progress has come at a price.
Yep.
Right.
You know, actually, there's actually a great example of this in the world right now. It's Dubai. Dubai is actually a fantastic example of this because they have very old morals
and values
that they stick to, right? Yeah. And you know what? If you go to Dubai, beautiful, like the Dubai, you know, like, and like it's just what they're doing there. You're like, holy shit! So they're very progressive in technology and taking, you know, taking things to the next level and growth, right?
They're using technology and the current shit today to their advantage, but keeping
morals.
The people who have these fancy cars leave their keys in the car in Dubai? You know why? Because in Dubai, there's Sharia law. If you steal, you'll get your fucking hand chopped off. So no one's out there stealing shit in Dubai, right? They don't steal shit.
The risk versus reward ain't there.
It's not there. It doesn't matter. Like it ain't worth it for me to lose my hand, right? And so in Dubai, it's actually a very safe place. Surrounding it, no. But you know, in Dubai, it's very safe in certain regards because there's morals and standards have lived for ages and they will stick to those. They'll die before they move from their morals and standards, right? But then they are still extremely progressive. Mm. What a great example. We could do the same thing here in America, stick to our morals and standards, which are simply, you know, God and country, right? Family, you know, there's very simple morals that would govern this country, what established this country. Let's stick to those and continue our progress. You don't have to have one without the other. You can have both. And that creates an extremely revolutionized society, but also a very safe society.
Yep. Old school values with new school technology.
Amen. That's
really what it comes
down to.
That's
all it is. And we could do that.
Yep.
I know we could do that. We can reestablish these morals and standards. And honestly, they're still here. It's just the silent majority hasn't spoken up yet. Mm. And we just need to keep kicking them in the ass and say, let's go. Yep. Right? Because I'm taking all this heat. I'm called a racist almost every day at this point. You know, I'm a misogynist, a bigot, right? My company's literally called AlphaCon. Like, you want to talk about one of the most hated words in the world? Call yourself an alpha. Start telling people to call themselves an alpha. Like, who the fuck do you think you are, right? Like, okay, we got to chill here, right?
I know I'm not you. That's right. And you're not me.
Exactly.
So we can disagree.
Exactly. You know, and if we could just have people see the truth, that if they were to stand up, look, if we disagree with Disney, if we disagree with Netflix and what they're putting out, if we disagree with schools, guess what? The silent majority pulls away from that. You know, we talk about voting and how corrupt voting is. I believe the election was rigged. I believe we need to fix our voting.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's actually a more powerful way to vote. It's vote with your time, attention, and dollars.
Right.
Turn off the TV. Don't subscribe to Disney if you don't support them. Don't go to Disneyland if you don't support them. Don't watch, you know, the games if you don't support them. Don't vote with your dollar. And that is way more powerful than actually the vote even today. Because you could go in and vote, and is that true or is it not? Okay, that's one thing. But you know what? Guess who's pulling the strings behind the politicians?
Yeah.
The businesses, the politicians are puppets.
Right.
They're all puppets, right? There's a bigger vision behind them. And guess what? They will do what we say when we don't give them our money.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't give them their money, they will lose all power. They'll lose all authority. They'll crumble.
Right.
So guess what? If you want to see a change, start voting with your dollar. Right. Start voting with your time and attention. If you disagree with social media and feel like, you know, they're censoring people, get off that social media platform and go to a new one.
Right.
Could you imagine if we all, as a majority, because we're talking about the majority, right? As a majority, had the same moral standards and we moved accordingly. We had enough honor and integrity to move according to our morals and standards.
What if nobody sent their kids to school in a mask and nobody showed up on first day?
No one would care. And what if everyone said, no, we're not going to get it, and then no one flew on a plane? No one flew on the plane because if you fly on this plane, you have to have a mask. No, nope, right. I'm not going to do that. You won't suppress me. No, absolutely not. They would change their policy quick.
Well, yeah. What do you think, like union workers do?
Exactly.
They basically say, we are not doing anything anymore.
That's right.
And what happens? People are losing money at a rapid pace when the workers aren't showing up. So what happens? They end up sitting at a fucking table, coming to an agreement, and the workers go back to work.
Damn sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And really, that's kind of the situation.
Right?
Yeah. It is. To a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just agreeing with you. I was just saying, no. Well,
dude, fuck. I love this episode.
Like, hey, I did. Before we wrap up, business, I did want to ask you, because I didn't make it up to your AlphaCon. And I was out of town that time. But I did see you promote it.
Yeah.
And I've followed some of your stories. I've seen some of your podcasts.
Thanks.
And so, I wanted to know what was next, right? Like, if you were still going to continue that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'd want the audience to go and follow you, man. I mean, one thing that people got to realize is, like, leaders need other leaders.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. It's like, dude, if Jeremiah is leading a movement that I believe in, like, dude, I want to follow that movement. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. If I'm a leader in my home, a leader in my organization, but I stand for more than just leading an organization in my family, like, I have a purpose to also help kids and victims and people that are, you know, weak against their own control. Like, dude, I want to follow you, and I want to consume more of, like, what you're doing and support those things. And so I wanted to know if you're still doing events and what your next things are coming up.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys having me on as well, you know. So, yeah, I will always do AlphaCon. Especially, and you know what's funny? Because I put AlphaCon on because I believed in it. I knew it would be a great event. When I saw the hate that came after that, it literally hit me. I'm like, I have to do this forever now.
Do more.
Because I see the hate and pushback, and that means I know what's needed, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I will continue to
do. You believe that that's evil trying to crumble you and make you quit? You give up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question. No question. I mean, if you're going to do, like,
it's all your perspective.
It
right?
is. And
that
doesn't
mean it probably wasn't hard.
Oh, dude, it sucked.
But you had to keep perspective.
You want to see the DMs and the death threats and the "you racist piece of shit"? You know, I'm still getting DMs. There's still hate groups for me at this point. Yeah. Just because I put on a business conference and I called it AlphaCon, right? I called it AlphaCon, you know? But yeah, I will always continue to do, you know, AlphaCon. But actually, I just launched, because I actually exited a company that took up most of my time, so I could launch what I call the Alphas Creed. Yeah. It's my private community. I'm launching it for free. It's on Discord. I'm creating this community, again, for the purpose of gathering the strong. And I'm trying to provide every possible thing I can to this community, where I actually go live every single week and I do coaching, Q&A calls. And, you know, there's a lot of people who do coaching. They charge for it. I love it. And I've got a lot of friends who do that. They're crushing it. To me, I want mass numbers. I want people who believe in that message of what it means to be a protector and a provider, hence an alpha, right? What it means to be someone who will not stand for this. You know, so I just launched. You go to alphascreed.com. You can join the community completely for free. As a matter of fact, if you join, I'll even build you, because I don't know if you guys know anything about this. I'm really good at online marketing and funnels, right?
Yeah.
So I'll build you high converting funnels and website completely for free by joining. And that my vision is to take that to millions of members, right?
Nice.
Because, and then obviously I have the apparel that just launched, and a lot of crazy things that I actually can't talk about yet that are going to be rolled out soon.
Very cool.
But I plan to make this logo and this movement a worldwide movement,
cool.
right? I want this logo to be as recognizable as Monster one day.
Well,
you know?
Good, man.
So, that's
dope.
Yeah. Great.
So how do people follow you and keep up with you? And
if you type in
if
you type in The Bull Evans on any platform, TikTok, YouTube, you type it in on Instagram, that'll pull me up.
You own that.
The Bull Evans is mine, yeah. So if you type that in, and then if you want to be a part of this, go to alphascreed.com, or it's on my Instagram. You click the link, you can join for free.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Cool. Nice. Well, you were fun today, bro.
Thanks, man. This was a good one. I appreciate it. It was worth the drive.
Yeah. Well, we got deep in some topics. Yeah. We got a little aggressive, a little assertive. But, you know, when you're passionate about something, shouldn't you be a little assertive and aggressive?
Right.
Right? Yeah. With that topic or whatever it is, or that business or that relationship or whatever, right?
Damn sure.
Attack the things that are of importance to you. And first off, find something that's important to you so that you have something to attack, right?
Exactly.
So, anywho, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. I know me and Kel did. It was
a
fun one. Definitely want a very real episode on topics that are very relevant in this day and age, unfortunately, but it is what it is. Make sure you share the podcast, share the show, like, review, do all that stuff. Other than that, guys, we'll see you next week. Keep kicking ass.